Chiefs lose to the Raiders. Chiefs get dominated by the Raiders. Raiders kill the Chiefs. Whatever headline you want to give it, it happened. And holy cow. Right after that Tyreek touchdown got called back at the beginning and Osemele got hurt the following play, everything was downhill. Your initial thoughts, joined by Connor as always, but yeah, your initial thoughts.
It was... Who played well? I think it was like Kelce and Tyreek, and I think that's it. Injuries, first of all, Osemele got hurt on like the first drive or something. I didn't think it'd be that big of a loss, but turns out we desperately need him because the run blocking was non-existent and the pass blocking was also non-existent. So what exactly are we good at this point? I have no idea. And it's not like we're going up against Aaron Donald or Bosa or Nick Bosa or any really dominant defensive line. We're going up against the Raiders. Their best pass rusher is Max Crosby. This should be a cakewalk.
Yeah, and like I said, I don't know if Osemele was this important to the O-line or what. Like, I really enjoyed his run blocking, but he got a lot of holding calls and whatnot, which is also what happened today. But after that, I mean, the O-line just disintegrated all game. Mahomes was running for his life, and we really just got dominated at the line of scrimmage on both sides all day. But I just, and you, do you want to talk about the run blocking or lack thereof?
Okay, so here's the thing about the run game. We have reverted back to the pre-Mahomes era Chiefs, where it's going to be run up the middle, incompletion, every single drive. And it's infuriating, because you have Mahomes, and you have Tyreek, and you have McColl, and you have Kelce, you have all these great weapons that you can really air it out with, and you choose not to in order for to pad the stats of some midget from LSU? Are you kidding me? Like, the reason Clyde has better stats than all the other rookie running backs is because they force it to him so much. And he, what does he do to help this team? Pass blocking? He hasn't done that. Vision? He doesn't have great vision. Breakaway speed? He doesn't have that. Power on the goal line? He doesn't have that. What is he doing that's benefiting the team, and why does he deserve the ball over Mahomes?
Okay, so this is why I disliked the Clyde pick from the beginning. Yes, he's a good fit for this offense, but when the offense isn't working and they need something from the run game, he's not exactly the guy for that. Like you said, short, stocky running back. Doesn't have a ton. He doesn't have great size, and everyone's like, "Oh, don't underestimate him. Don't underestimate his size." Well, you know what? It's a detriment to his ability when it comes to these situations, because I liked Damian a lot because he was a home run threat. He had the speed. He was an outside runner. Clyde was more of your in between the tackles kind of guy, but he doesn't do what Damian did well. So I thought they complemented each other very well. So when Damian opted out, I was really disappointed because now we just have Clyde, who is different from Damian, but isn't exactly better. He's just good at what Damian was bad at. So I just that's where I hated the pick, and we spent a first round on him. Here's the thing, and I get it. He's only a rookie. We're four games in, whatever. But outside of the Texans game, his big coming out game, he's been average at best outside of that. And is that because, you know, they're like, okay, we saw the first game. Now here's how you stop this guy. I don't know. But the thing is if you spend a first round pick on a running back, you expect him to be an all world talent like Saquon Barkley or one of those guys. Clyde is not, and he has not shown that. He is not that type of physical specimen that you draft and that you can justify drafting with a first round pick. We got Kareem Hunt in the third round, and I don't even think CEH is better than Hunt. Not even close.
Well, look at what Jacksonville is doing with James Robinson. I say that Clyde isn't that much better than James Robinson, and James Robinson wasn't even drafted. So, again, what's so great about this pick other than we get another quote-unquote weapon to add to all the stupid graphics CBS likes to throw up?
Yeah, I mean, and the way Andy uses them, too, I mean... just running him when you don't have to. It's like he's forcing Clyde to get involved when he shouldn't be, when you need to air it out. I mean, like you said earlier, it's like we run up the middle, incompletion. That's the end of the drive. I mean, it was ridiculous. I mean, we wasted about two plays on every drive just forcing it up to Clyde through the middle. It's like he'll get 2 yards, and then he'll get stuffed for no gain, and that's that. And Andy just kept doing it. And I said it 3 pods in a row now. We forced the run game up the middle, and it did not work, and it finally came back to bite us today.
Yep, and it's not like this is any of Andy Reid's insane innovations or whatever Tony Romo's going to talk about on CBS. No, this is just halfback dive. It's like some kid who's just playing Madden for the first time. He doesn't have any weird specific thing that he thought, man, Clyde would be perfect for this. No, what happened is Mahomes is like, hey, I like that Edwards kid from LSU, and Veach is like, okay, guess Mahomes gets what he wants. I don't think Mahomes has a future of a GM after he retires, because that pick is terrible. Especially when you could have drafted an interior lineman or a corner.
Exactly.
Both of which, those positions completely screwed us over. Specifically, Charvarius Ward, who just seems to forget that Henry Ruggs plays for the Raiders and just let him blow by. I wish his hand was still broken, because I think Antonio Hamilton could have done a better job covering than he did. And you know how much I hate Antonio Hamilton.
Yeah, you nailed it, because here's the thing. We got linebackers that aren't good. We have a suspect defensive back group. We have an interior O-line that can't block for anybody. And we spent our first-round pick on a running back. And then we spent our second-round pick on a linebacker, you can say. But they barely play him. So, I don't know. It's just really frustrating. And the DBs, this is why I really, really was upset by losing LeJarius Sneed, because he has the speed and the athletic ability to keep up with guys like Henry Ruggs, but with him out, you are forced to throw Charvarius Ward on him and hope his physical ability will kind of make up for his lack of long speed that he doesn't have, but he just got burned continuously today, so gosh.
I almost wondered if, like, it would have been a better decision to put Tyreek on Henry Ruggs, have Tyreek play corner. Tyreek has decent ball skills, and he's the only person on the team who appears to have anywhere near the speed that Henry Ruggs has, because Henry Ruggs just torched the defense like he was Michael Wilson against LSU. I feel like I just butchered his name, but I don't care. He's a old quarterback.
No, you got it.
You know what I mean.
Yeah, no, you got it. I did. Yeah. But, I mean, the offense is a complete and total disaster today. After the first half, I mean, we really got nothing until it was already too late. Just like you said earlier, just, you know, you get the run, pass, incomplete pass, and that was the end of it. But the defense also has to take a lot of the blame, because, I mean, the run defense, once again, coming back to expose us. And this, you know, this is why I get frustrated, because every year it's like, oh, Taco Charlton, good at stuffing the run. Willie Gay, a new athletic run-stuffing linebacker. This defensive lineman we got can stuff the run. Which is all these run stuffers we got. And the run defense continuously sucks year after year, and I don't really understand that. And, I mean, the pass defense wasn't good today either. I mean, Renfro burning us. You got Darren Waller killing everyone on our team. Tyron had a really, really bad game. Just all around terrible defensive performance. And then in the second half, the first two drives, we forced the Raiders to a 3-and-out, which should have given our offense a chance to do something. But they also would go 3-and-out or just completely flame out. So you can't expect this defense to hold on forever, and that's kind of what they were forcing them to do, and that's one of the big reasons they lost.
We were setting ourselves up for failure with how much hype we were getting. Like, I saw all week this week, oh, the Chiefs' defense is a well-kept secret in the NFL. They have playmakers like Frank Clark who will come and make you pay. I think that the Chiefs are going to win this week, and they're going to continue to do that the rest of the season. Like, no, we aren't going 16-0, and this is why. We get so enamored with ourselves that we just forget the fundamentals of football. And $100 million man Frank Clark can't do anything. Chris Jones, he got like one pass defense, and that was about it. He's not good defending the run at all. He's a pure pass rushing defensive tackle. I didn't see Mike Pinnell at all this game. If he wasn't playing, I have no idea why. Bashaud Breeland, literally the only person on the defense who I thought had a good game.
Well,
it's just him.
He seems to be the only one that can tackle, which is pretty sad when your best tackler is a cornerback. But, yeah, Frank Clark just completely neutralized this game once again. You know, he has these games more often than not that's like, why are we paying this dude $100 million? And people are like, oh, well, his postseason five-sack run or whatever he had. Okay, outside of that, which I thought was overrated anyways, because most of his sacks were in garbage time. Outside of that, he's been really, really disappointing. And the defensive line in general, just no pressure on Carr today at all. He had all freaking day, even on the blitzes.
I had a conversation with a dude the other day, and he said, you really think that D Ford would be better than Clark? And I said, no, but I think Justin Houston would. And
yeah.
He said, Justin Houston never plays the full season. Does Frank Clark?
Yeah.
Frank Clark already missed a game, already missed time this year. He didn't miss the full game, but he missed time. So he already hasn't played a full season this year.
Yeah.
Because his tummy hurt.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous, man. I mean, we spend all this money on him. And I mean, if I could go back, I would have kept the money that we paid for Clark and the draft picks. And I would have just went out and signed the Smith brothers.
Yeah.
I mean, that would have been
enough. I don't know if we ordered that, but probably at least Zadarius.
Oh yeah, I love Zadarius for sure. But yeah, just terribly disappointing performance today all around. And you know, you talk about, like, you know, everyone talking about the undefeated talk and how this team should be so much better. Well, at some point, you have to admit that you're hoping for the team to be something that they're actually not capable of being. And I said that last year after the Titans game, but they ended up fixing themselves after that. That was like the last straw. They never lost another game after that. But I
knew there was going to be a game this year like this, because like I was listening to the Pat McAfee show the other day, and he talked about how this is one of the greatest rosters ever assembled in football history, and if they have a shot at catching the 72 Dolphins, no, we don't. And it's pretty obvious because we still have bums starting like Austin Ryder. So there is no way that we could catch the 72 Dolphins. But if we get in the mindset that we are as good as the 72 Dolphins, we're going to get caught in trap games like this. So I expected this to happen. I just didn't expect it to be the Raiders.
Yeah, and that's the frustrating part. Is like it's not even like you lost a really close game where you made some mistakes. It's that you just got completely slapped around in all aspects of the game by the Raiders. And as I was saying before you brought that up. And again, I know we're only like 4 or 5 games into the season, but outside and people don't want to admit this, but outside of a half of a football game against the Ravens and about a half of football against the Houston Texans, who are a bad team anyways, now that we have seen more of them. Outside of those little bits of football, this team has been pathetic. And I don't think anyone can argue that.
Yeah, we're definitely overrated.
Yeah.
And
well, and the thing is the defense has been part of the reason we've won the games that we've won so far. I mean, the defense totally showed up in the Ravens game. They were the reason we didn't give up 40 points to the Chargers. I don't think we come back if the Chargers score another point in that game. They ended up only scoring 20. Our defense held them to 20 points, which I thought was impressive. The Patriots won. I mean, the offense just didn't show up at all. And the defense won us that game as well. And I was like, man, this defense looks really good. You can argue they've been better than the offense. And then, of course, today, the defense doesn't show up, and you have the offense now that they need to go out and win a game 2018 style, and they don't show up either, and that's how you get games like these, where the freaking Raiders beat us.
Well, it's because in 2018, we're like, oh, we can air the ball out better than anyone ever has before. Let's do that. And we didn't try to feed an overrated running back. You know, when we did run the ball, it was Kareem Hunt, who I honestly could say is the Mahomes of running backs. Like, what makes Mahomes special is his ability to make something out of nothing. And that's exactly what Kareem Hunt is for the running game. Clyde is not that. You can say whatever you want for Clyde, but he is not the type of guy to make something out of nothing. Unless you consider having a low center of gravity and being able to force the pile slightly like he did against Alabama. But even against Alabama, that's not an NFL defense. Like, he seems to get overpowered a lot in these past few weeks, a lot more than he did in the SEC.
Well, like, a lot of times he'll get caught out in the flat, and then he'll make a spin move or something to get, like, 2 yards rather than zero. And everyone will be like, oh, a nasty spin move by Clyde. Okay, he picked up 2 yards. You know, like, I just...
Yeah, meanwhile, Kareem Hunt would have broke it off for 50 yards and a touchdown.
Like we saw against the, saw against the Bengals that one time where, like, even the cameraman thought he was down, and all of a sudden you see Kareem Hunt break out of the pile, and it's like, oh, crap, and he scores a touchdown. I mean, that's just what he did. I don't see that kind of ability from Clyde. And like you said, like the breakaway speed, that's something Damian had that he doesn't, that I really wish Damian Williams hadn't have opted out. But
something that I think is pretty comparable to our current running back situation is actually the running back situation at Mizzou. We have that every down type guy who can catch passes out of the backfield, but he doesn't do anything exceptionally great, and Larry Roundtree and Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but they are both extremely overrated. Meanwhile, our backup guy I actually like better is more of that home run hitter guy that you were talking about earlier in Beatty and Damian Williams, both of which I like a lot better.
Well, I wouldn't call Roundtree overrated. He is a beast, but I do see the comparison you're trying to make there, and I do love Beatty as well. But the other thing about Clyde, and gosh, now I draw a blank, but yeah, I just don't see that kind of ability from him, you know? I hate that we spent a first-round pick on him. I absolutely hate it.
Especially when there's glaring weaknesses on the team.
Okay, hold on. Sorry to cut you off. I remembered it. I won't put all the blame on Clyde, because you do have to admit the interior O-line has done him no favors at all. And they didn't for Damian either, which is a reason why I thought Damian caught a lot of flack for not being able to create more yards for himself. But in the postseason, that didn't seem to be an issue.
Oh, yeah, that's another thing I was going to kind of go into. We have blatant weaknesses on this team. And typically, you don't see, like, a glaring weakness off of a Super Bowl team. But they're definitely there. Typically because Super Bowl teams are well-rounded teams like the Patriots, who are able to go the distance. The Chiefs are a very top-heavy team. So if you know how, or if you can exploit their weakness, we can't do anything about that. I really think that if Cam started last week, we would have lost. And it was just the sloppy play from Hoyer getting thrown in last second that caused us to win. And you can really see why with how the Raiders played us, is they dominated our weaknesses. You know, like I said earlier, our corners couldn't cover Henry Ruggs at all. We addressed that in the draft with Snead, and I really appreciate it. But the rest of the positions, we really didn't. Like, look at offensive line. How did we address offensive line? We got a left tackle who's not even playing this year. Now, I hate Fisher more than anybody, so I was very happy to get a left tackle, but that doesn't help us this year. He was supposed to play left guard, but of course he opted out, so that didn't happen. But our weaknesses from last year are still glaring, and we wasted our first-round pick on our running back, and it's come back to bite us.
Yeah, well, and the other thing is, like, well, and to add on to that, I mean, like linebacker, for example, you draft someone that you're not even playing right now, really. Now, his snaps have increased the past two games, but you're not really playing him that much. And Reggie Ragland leaves the team, and you replace him with nothing. I mean, like I said, you drafted Willie Gay, but you don't get anyone else. You still shout out Anthony Hitchens and Damian Wilson out there. That was concerning to me from the start of the year. Oh yeah, and not to mention Ben Neiman. Have no idea why he still has a roster spot. He does nothing well. Consistently gets beaten coverage. The commentators even call him a coverage linebacker. He doesn't cover anyone. You can call him whatever you want. He's not a coverage linebacker, and he can't tackle either. I don't know what he does well. I don't know why he has a roster spot, but we can get into that later. And then same thing for like the D-backs. I mean, we drafted Snead in the fourth round, which I thought was a little late, but I still liked the pick and I expected Snead to do as well as he was doing. And I'm happy to see that, but you didn't spend significant capital on the group. And now it's starting to show a little bit. You got Ward, who, you know, everyone was like, man, Charvarius Ward, this dude's really underrated. He's our number one corner. And look, people mistake a lot of our criticisms of Ward for being hate for Ward. We don't hate Ward. I think he's a good number two cornerback. He is not a number one, and that showed today because he just got torched. So, yeah, another glaring weakness. And like you said, the interior O-line. We brought in Osemele, who was a diamond in the rough for LDT opting out, but now Osemele looks to be hurt, and you don't really have anyone behind him. We got Remmers, who is really a depth guy and shouldn't be getting 100% of the snaps and whatnot. So now you're even thinner at that position than you were before, and it seems to be a problem because, like I said, Mahomes was running for his life. So I don't really know what you do now.
Yeah, I mean, I think that if you activate Ysir Durant and put him in over Mike Remmers, that problem gets fixed a little bit. I think that Ysir Durant should have been starting the whole time over Andrew Wiley. But, I mean, we're just kind of in a rough spot right now. The only thing we can do is really iron the kinks out in practice. I don't expect this team to get aggressive and make a trade at the deadline, given our cap situation already. But I would like to see Veach spend his first-round pick on a rental for this season, since he's proven that he can't get any good players in the draft with a first-round draft pick. Actually, no, I take that back. Considering the last time he traded a first-round draft pick, it turned into Frank Clark, who's is significantly more detrimental to the team than Clyde. But I don't know. Veach is just not great with the early round picks, and it's really kind of fucking us over with this. Something that I
Before you move on, another thing is we really, really praised Mecole Hardman for that pick. We were like, that was a good pick by Veach, but this was a discussion lately on Twitter, among Chiefs Twitter, because someone tweeted out something about Mecole Hardman being a few deep balls away from D'Anthony Thomas, and I fought that take, but I will say we have not seen a step up from Mecole Hardman. We're still seeing guys like DeMarcus Robinson and Sammy Watkins get snaps over him, when in reality we could have had DK Metcalf over Mecole Hardman, and DK Metcalf is a bona fide number one wide receiver. And so that, look, and I still think Mecole will be a good player, but he's got to show something more. And I think it could be another Veach indictment if we don't see some improvement, for sure. But
well, here's another good topic to talk about this game. Sammy Watkins with his annual season-ending injury. We don't know if it's season-ending officially, but let's be honest, it's Sammy Watkins. Well, he's not going to show up till like week 16. He's not going to do anything the last 2 weeks, and then he's going to ball out in the playoffs. That's Sammy Watkins for you.
Yeah, and it's a hamstring injury, so I don't really think he'll be out that long, but who knows? It's Sammy Watkins. But as far as injuries go, now that you bring him up, Anthony Hitchens hurt his hand like midway through the game, but ended up coming back out. And then the Sammy Watkins one we already talked about, and then Osemele was the only other big one that we know of, and we assume he's probably going to be out for the season. That looked like a pretty bad knee injury. Probably some torn ligaments of some sort. Like you were saying before I cut you off there.
Is Larry Warford still available?
Yes, he is.
Because he could be a good option moving forward.
Yes, I would love to see that, actually, considering no one has picked him up.
And I believe Justin Britt from Mizzou is still available for center.
Yep.
I might be mistaken.
Yeah, he was a solid.
Yeah, he's better than Ryan.
Yeah, he was solid for the Seahawks for many years. Those seemed like really good moves. But that's the thing, is like this team, like I said, the front office has been really reluctant to make moves when they should. Like last year, it ended up working out in their favor, but like the linebacker core continued to look terrible for weeks on end, and they never picked up a free agent. They never made up a they never made a trade. Nothing. And I feel like that's going to be something to watch this year to see if they make a move or if they're just going to stand pat again.
You know, there's a couple like key moments that I look back on, and every time you talk about the linebacking core, every time we talk about frustration in the running game. And frustration with asset management. I always think back to that whole saga where Kareem Hunt and Reuben Foster both got cut for domestic disputes. And I think Reuben Foster was found innocent.
Yes,
he was. Anyway, I said that we shouldn't have cut Kareem and we should have picked up Reuben Foster. And that still remains to this day. I think this team is in a much better position if they did both those, PR be damned.
Well, and the thing is, too, you can't say, oh, well, we're going to cut this guy for doing it, and then you're going to go and trade for Frank Clark. Like, you know, like, that's pretty hypocritical. Now, what the argument from the Chiefs would be, well, as long as it doesn't happen under our watch, then you can still be on the team. But, I mean, what's really the difference, you know? Because people still look at him the way they do, no matter if you have them on your team before or after. So, yeah, I mean, why the hell not pick up Reuben Foster when he's available, you know? So, it's really frustrating because you can't play both sides of the fence like that.
Yeah, and, I think the reason they got rid of Kareem was more so because he lied to the team.
Yeah,
honestly, if he's playing at the level he is, they really shouldn't have got rid of him, especially if they are going to view running back as that bad of a need moving forward. I know that gets into more of morality than anything, but as a football move, it was really stupid to cut him, and I don't care that we have Clyde now.
Well, and the thing is, too, I mean, I feel like one of the reasons they cut him as quick as they did is because, okay, we don't want this image on our team. We don't need it. But you look at him now, and do you really see anyone like being like, man, Kareem shouldn't even be in the league, you know? I feel like the public perception of him is not that bad.
Yeah.
So that's that, I guess. And then another thing we need to bring up, the refs in this game were pretty bad. I feel like that penalty shouldn't even have been called on the first Tyreek one. There was another holding call later in the game that was nowhere near the play. I forget when. I think it was like third quarter that stalled one of our drives. And then the big screw-up today was the ref blatantly missing the pass interference from Jonathan Abram on one of Tyreek's potential catches. I mean, he got there super early and no call, and that could have potentially changed the game.
Yeah, it's there was the one that comes to mind for me is towards the end there was an incompletion intended for Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
And the cornerback was just completely hugging him, and there was no way he could.
That's another thing that frustrated me today. Did you notice that Mahomes is going to Kelce a lot, even though he'd be like double or triple covered or just not open at all?
Well, Kelce seemed to be the only efficient player on offense to me.
Yeah.
So that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
If I was Mahomes, I'd look for Kelce.
Yeah, Kelce or Tyreek really is all you had to work with for this game. I mean, just, yeah, the O-line.
Not to mention the fact that Kelce is Mahomes' safety net. Typically, when he goes to one of the other receivers, he tries to look deep because they're fast anywhere where they can get open field. But Kelce is his big safety net. The announcers called him Old Reliable, which is pretty accurate. So Kelce, he just felt safe going to Kelce.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, the O-line did Mahomes no favors today, but I think we have to point out and give credit to Derek Carr. He outplayed Patrick Mahomes today.
I hate Derek Carr so much.
Yeah, and you know, I feel like the Raiders, they really approach this, either we suck or we just don't care enough, But the Raiders really approached this with a sense of urgency. You heard Carr all week, I'm tired of losing, I want to make a statement. You know John Gruden had a vengeance coming into this game. And you know what? They went out, they executed, and they beat us in every single way possible. I don't know if this is because the Raiders are simply better than us. I don't know if their offense is better than we're giving them credit for, or if we just didn't show up again today because we thought we could sleepwalk through the game and still win.
Yeah, I feel like that's kind of what happened, similar to the Chargers, except for it bit us in the ass more so than the Chargers one did, obviously, because we lost. It's so hard to talk about because, I don't know, the Chiefs losing just completely ruins my week.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to be pissed off until they win. And, yeah. God.
And it could get ugly.
I got so pissed off the game, and I'm still going to be pissed off.
And it could get a lot uglier if they end up laying an egg against Buffalo. So.
Buffalo, if this game was Chiefs against Bills, I wouldn't be as upset as I am. But it's not like we were playing a great team. We were playing the Las Vegas Raiders. They're not very good. So,
the other thing...
You know, I say that, but they beat us, so I guess they're better than us.
Yeah, I mean, just absolutely... It's really frustrating to see, and I guess the one positive you can take from this game is it looked like for a minute there that the Raiders were going to beat the Chiefs by double digits. The Chiefs had never lost by double digits in the Mahomes era, but they ended up only making it an 8-point game. So there's your one positive from today.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, one of two things could happen. One, we could go for the signature Andy Reid slump where we lose the next three games. Or we could go, oh, look, Kareem Hunt just caught a touchdown for the Browns. Anyway, or we could go and bounce back from this like we did after the Titans game.
Right. Yeah, it remains to be seen. This is by far, though, I think the worst game the team has played since Mahomes became starter. It's really a demoralizing loss to a team that you've owned for the past, what, 5-6 years, and man, it's just terrible. But anything else you want to talk about before we wrap it up?
Yeah, I don't want to talk about this game anymore.
Yeah, I don't think anyone does, but Chiefs fans, don't get too down on yourselves. You still have a good team, maybe. We'll see. But that's it for
us. Are you kidding me? This is all this was. This entire thing was just us getting down on ourselves.
Yeah, well, you have to leave a positive message to keep fans coming back. So keep clicking that play button, folks. Peace.